Well, hit this.
There you
Thank
go.
you. All right. Well,
Perfect.
today I am Alan Pettingill of alanpettingill.com and Brit Talk Live. Today I am lucky to have a guy that I've wanted on the podcast for quite some time, my mate Eric Snow, and he is the man that covers sensors. We've been on the phone and we've discussed the ins and the outs of a little bit of the sensors, but I've asked him here today so that we can sit down and discuss just what sensors can do for historical buildings, modern day buildings, and the way that technology is moving. Eric, thanks for coming on the talk, mate.
Well, thanks for having me. Sorry about my background. I'm in my truck, like always.
A man that's always busy. So
Always busy.
give us a bit of background on you, Eric. How did you actually start coming into the sensors?
Oh, I took a roundabout way. Let's say I was a personal trainer for 12 years. I had a lot of success there. I really enjoyed it. And then something called COVID happened. And then all the gyms shut down, and then all the clientele left and all that. So I had to come up with something new. So I went and worked with a guy I met at the gym, and I was selling like a Geosystems machine control. So everything that goes on a dozer, grader, excavator, and makes it into a video game, and makes it easier for everybody to play around and be accurate. A week after being hired on, he brought on a company called Moose Solutions, and he told me I was going to be in charge of it. So I was like, all right, and then worked there for about 2.5 years, 3 years. Then he was going to sell it, so I was like, you know what? I really enjoy the sensors. There's a big there's potentially a big market for it. I can see the growth, a lot of need for it. So I just asked if I could just take it off his hand. So about a year and a half ago, I took it over, and it's in the past now.
So, what was the first sensors you started out with? Let's just sort of go on that.
Okay.
Technology's moving all the time. For people that don't know about sensors, give them a bit of a feel.
Okay, so we have vibrometers. So in a nutshell, it's like a small size seismograph that detect any types of vibrations. Then we have accelerometers, which basically monitor or detect accelerations of how quickly something is moving. Then we have tilt meters, which is basically an electronic level, but it's on three axes. Okay. And then we have a patented displacement sensor, which monitors displacement of just another type of movement. Now I'm not a structural engineer, so those probably aren't the technical terms to use. Yeah, and then we can do crack meters, right? So monitoring the crack movement, which in historical buildings, I'm pretty sure there's one or two cracks in a building. Some are struggling.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but
Yeah.
the crack meters, that rings a big bell with me because when I first started doing masonry restoration in the UK 30 years ago, I used to work with structural engineers that were involved in foundation repair. And in the UK, we do a lot of more historical buildings that are underpinned. So I came across a lot of the old crack gauges that were attached to the side of the building with two separate pieces with a graph coming across the top and some epoxy design to line it up like a telescopic sight. And should that move, that was our first indication of movement. So the engineers would like to have them monitored for a while to see that there was any movement. And I think that your sensors now, when you're talking about things like that, are certainly a little bit more electronic and Bluetooth, I take it.
Yes, they are electronic, but they're pretty, I don't know how to put it. It's It's just like you described. You just are able to see it remotely now, right? So
Yes.
those old ones, you have to go in periodically. Some people say once a week, once a month, once a quarter, what, however the structural engineer wants to look at it. With the new stuff nowadays, you can look at it across the world, right? So I could technically be monitoring a building in Texas at this very moment. I could bring it up and say, hey, this is what's going on with your structure right now.
Well, that's good because the old days it used to be you have to climb up that ladder, get yourself as close to see it as possible, climb back down or get a boom lift. At least now, once it's applied, you can go back and be able to monitor it in from a safe position. That's a
Correct.
good idea. I'm certainly in for that. And another thing that you were mentioning about with sensors is that when we were recently working on an old building in Mesquite, it was 1890s, but it was on the corner of a big road. And what we found was that when the vibration of those big trucks came by, you could certainly feel it within the
Oh yeah.
building. And I wondered, you should be able to pick that up a lot better on your equipment to show that it's moving. Because one of the things is that I find with old buildings is the more that you vibrate them, especially with lime-based mortar, the more friction that occurs and friable that they are, it certainly starts falling apart very quickly. But with the sensors you've got, that we should be able to at least be able to give the heads up to like the city or engineers and architects of just what's happening within that area. Can you put them in the building and in the ground as well?
Yes, there's different ways to install them. So you can do what I supply is wireless sensors. Okay, so those ones are very easy to install, and you can scale them up. You put them on a foundation, right? So yeah, you can have two to four bolts. You can attach them with epoxy. You can just do whatever, as long as it's fixed very securely to whatever you're looking at. And then
I have an interesting question.
yeah.
One that we find in Texas, and something that I've been monitoring and covering, is soil movement in Texas. Because what happens is that a lot of people will build slab on grade over here, and the plumbing underneath, if it's encapsulated, can be damaged by soil swelling and causing problems to under the pipes underneath some of these commercial buildings. Could your sensors be put in the building stage to monitor any of this, such as ground movement?
Yes, so there's a bunch of different types of sensors. Almost too many that I don't even know all of them. But there's you might be referring to a piezometer, which is monitors for ground water levels, right? And then you can put vibrometers around there as well. So then they'll detect, okay, when the ground is this saturated with moisture, and say a truck drives by, this is how much movement is going on, right? And during the construction, there's a lot of heavy vehicles, usually heavier than what you're typically going to see on a day-to-day basis around that building once it's built, right? So you'll be able to detect how that soil is going to respond based on the water levels, size of vehicle, so on and so forth.
That's a good one. That's very interesting because, as well as when anybody that's in the construction game and is on site, you're right. The different variants of vehicles and weights, like cement trucks, snorkels, cranes, these are all things that certainly are on there. But one of the things that I was thinking about was that sometimes they put void boxes underneath. Because we've got a lot of swelling soil in Texas and Colorado, such as that. And this swelling soil can cause problems on pipes And I was wondering if you could put them in there to monitor the soil expanding and contracting.
Well, the sensors, like say you did a tilt meter, okay?
Yeah.
The sensor is sensitive enough where it will detect any type of movement, right? Up and down, side to
Yes.
side, right? More accurate, so the accuracy rating is 0.00015 millimeters. Okay, so you could put a beam, what we call a tilt beam, okay, on one portion of it, and you put it attached on another side, you put a tilt meter in the middle, and what that does, that extends the range of that sensor from 1, 2, or 3 meters long. So if there's any type of movement this way, you're going to see it,
Right.
right? Now, deep in the soil, I haven't been asked that question, so I can't really answer that portion of it.
I'm just thinking of it that in the past I read my interest in it is from the old days, moisture in buildings from old clay pipes. The older buildings that I used to work on were going back 1700. And they had old clay pipes and things. One of the things that as I said earlier, the main thing, there's three things that affect a building, an old professor told me once before. Water, water, and water. Water from the roof, water from the guttering, water from the foundation, and water from anywhere else. These are the most aggressive elements that sort of have our problems for the buildings. So understanding where the water is and things like that, especially with old historic buildings, because there was no damp proof course on those buildings originally. They were just built with brick footings. Are your sensors able to pick up how much moisture is traveling up in the wall?
Yes.
I'm
Yeah, so there's different, so the structural stuff isn't meant for that. Now
Yes.
there's inside the structure stuff as well, right? So there's moisture sensors where you would put a probe inside the wall, and that will tell you how much moisture is in that wall, in that cavity,
Okay.
right? You can put them underneath by your sinks. You can put them underneath by your anywhere, like your water heater, your washer, your dryer, your dishwasher, all that stuff,
So in
and they'll
some ways,
give you. Sorry.
yeah, no, I said in some ways that's great because how many times are homeowners unaware of anything that moisture leaks or anything
Yep.
such until it's far too late? So
Yep.
something like that is pretty good. But also as well, that you saying here, there's something here that's really got my attention because 25 years ago I was heavily involved. Well, 25 years ago, I got involved with a company, forensics investigation, where we used to take bricks out and if we had problems. And I'm relating back to the old school. I'm going back to when mold, you can't say mold. Oh my goodness. You can say suspected fungal growth, but you cannot say mold, which was always had me chuckling. But what it did do was made me realize that to create mold, most times you need moisture, dark, and a hot and a cold environment to create interstitial condensation. Now, one of the things I was called in was on an expert witness. And being an expert witness, we had to open up the brickwork. And see what was inside, i.e., where the weep holes blocked. Because in the normal brickwork, we've got outer skin brickwork, inner studs, sheathing, and then we've got brickwork that's built up. But the problem is that mortar can drop down and block those weep holes. And you don't really know until it's far too late. But if you were suspect, of something like this, that there was a moisture buildup within the cavity, you're saying that if we could cut out a small section and put one of your sensors in there, we would be able to see just how much moisture is building up within them cavities. Because
Correct.
if they're blocked, it's not going to release the moisture. Although
Correct.
water has to go somewhere, so it's trapped. And if that goes inside, that could be a potential health hazard for the occupants of the buildings, right?
Correct. Yes.
Ah,
Yes. And so you can
so.
do moisture. You can also, they also have air quality, right? So then the air quality ones, they can detect a lot of different, you can tell it what to look for.
Okay. Ah, now then, now you're getting all, now you're getting me all excited as well. Really, because a lot of historic buildings that we have to go to are in major disrepair in most times, and the air quality. When you walk in into an old historic room that's had no ventilation, you don't need a sensor. Your whole body, your whole face is a sensor. Oh my God, I'm not going in there. And then they say, well, do you want a mask? I'd rather know that it was okay first.
Right.
So I think that with older buildings that you're looking at, if you could put your sensors in there, not only would it give you air quality and certain areas of moisture intrusion, you could have you could create quite with the right amount of money and time, I must say, you could create something really special because that's what long term people need to know about their building because it is a living thing in a way. It's made of wood, it's made of brick, it's people in it, it's a functioning thing. And if not functioning thing, you need to know as much as you can about it.
Correct.
I suppose it's a bit like working on your old granny, really. She's ornery, she's old, she kicks, she spits, but you can't put her down, so let's put some monitors on her.
I like that. My analogy was the building can be your old granny, and then the sensors can be your doctor.
Ah, well done.
Okay,
You've been tested, yes.
so they are basically running all the tests your doctor does on you, but on the building.
Oh,
Right?
I like it. I like
So you're
it.
thinking, you got a stethoscope, you're looking, saying,
Yeah.
all right, you're doing all these tests, doing the blood tests. That's what these sensors are meant to do, is basically you're testing the structure to see how healthy and structurally sound it is.
But what about the software to work with these sensors? Is it special? Is it cost effective? Can you run it from your phone? Can you?
All of
You.
it, all of the above, right? So, the so there's different companies out there that supply different softwares based off of what you're looking for. Okay,
Right.
so if you're looking for just like you just want to look, know your water intrusion, that's pretty simple. That's very cost effective. And there's a company that I represent, and they basically will. You monitor it, but they will also monitor it for you.
Okay.
Okay. And then if say a sensor goes off, right, you have a threshold on all these where if there's moisture here and it's not supposed to be there, you get a text alert or you get an email alert
Well,
almost right away. Right.
that sounds interesting, especially if you've got municipalities, schools, especially
Yes.
large structures that need monitoring, where there's an environment, as you said, for air quality, for children. For office people, things like that. So I can see that there would be a big market. It's just not accepted yet.
Well, it's not accepted over here.
Well, I ain't from these around these here parts, so I can say that.
It is accepted mainly in Europe. Europe is a it's a huge market over there. Because one, everything is old over there, and I believe that in this type of things, they're a little ahead of the game,
Yes.
and they're creating a standard for this, right?
Was
And then
the
Canada's getting in there, and then I think the US will be here shortly.
I think that as well as it's funny you saying that, I think I remember hearing something about the Japanese are very on the leading edge of things like that as well, because of the earthquakes and things like that they've had out there. They're
Yes, I
good at gadgets.
all their gadgets. Chinese are there as well. They're making sensors cheaper and faster. Cheaper isn't always better,
No,
right?
true.
But for the homeowner, for the average homeowner, like so say you just like my house, you could put cheap ones in there. It's not a big deal. But if you're looking at a municipality where you don't want to be in there all the time, changing batteries out or potentially having them break all the time, you want a good solid sensor that can handle more workload. We'll do that, right?
Because a lot of high-rise buildings take a lot of weathering, and with the climate change that's upon us now, we're finding heavier, harder winds and storms coming about. So we definitely need to gain as much information as we can from these, because as we know in our game, the more that we information we get, the more that we can advise people to take the right steps. And I think that that's how people are not looking at sensors right now. They need to be thinking about looking at taking the right steps to protect people, especially. There's a great example, and would be masonry parapets in New York. They brought out a new ordinance at the beginning of the year to check these parapets and things like that that are on the wall. Well, one of the things is, I reckon with your sensors as well, I mean, they've got to be able to see any wind-driven movement and things like that when they're up there. So that might come into place. Crack gauges that you've got on your sensors, would you see long-term metal expanding as well? So if you had a building over a say 5 year period and it was suspect of corroding, could that monitor, because you said it's in so many microns, that could show that if that metal is expanding at a rate, especially on a coastal area, that's getting a lot of salt and things like that, you'd be able to monitor that against normal areas and have an offset, right?
Correct.
Huh.
Correct. Now, the thing is, so the crack meters are static, right? They don't have to send you data every 30 seconds, every 10 minutes or whatever, right? Because it's a slow movement, right? Well, over here, coast ranges, Oregon, stuff like that. Well, right now it's like Arizona, Texas, like where that you've been having a lot of temperature changes, right? Well, you might see the crack expand a lot during certain parts of the year, right? And then it goes back to normal during other parts of the year,
Yes.
right? Well, for instance, on a bridges are usually only inspected every year, every 2 years, depending on their age and what the inspectors have found, right? And typically what I found is these bridges are inspected the same time every year. Okay, so if you go and you see a crack, you're like, oh, that crack looked just like it was last year, right? And say you looked at it in June, right? Well, in January, when it's 20 degrees outside, maybe that crack's smaller, bigger, I don't know.
I hear you. And the thing is that's interesting you should say that, because as you said, in Texas, our ground can swell and heave, hugging and heaving unbelievably. It can change, as you said, and utilizing that on the same points and inspecting at the same time of the year, you're not allowing for differentials. That's interesting. And it's interesting you said that bridges are inspected every 1 or 2 years. My problem is that I have masonry. Masonry is not inspected at all. There's no governing. That's what I was saying about the in New York, they're starting to inspect the parapets in Chicago, anything above 6 stories, and I think there's a few others that are actually starting to have a look periodically to see if they do have a problem with that. One of the other states, Seattle. Seattle have just come in as well and done a retrofit of cavity wall ties. That'll be interesting for monitoring things like that. So in the past, You've dealt with a few engineers, and what are their requirements that they've been asking for? I mean, you've got the wireless sensor networks that are certainly continuous monitoring, as you were saying there. And as you said, the Europeans are certainly up and on them a bit more. How do you see it changing over here, time-wise? How do you feel?
Well, what I feel and what I think or in hope, right? So I hope we bring on sensors faster than I am guessing is going to happen, right? Because people are stuck in their own in the old ways, right? Say, oh, we just have to inspect the bridges. We just, you know, now, I mean, they're bringing drones up, but you still have to be out on site to run the drone, right?
Yes.
You have to schedule it. You have to do all this stuff where if you invested a little bit more money, well, those drones aren't cheap, right? Those drones are anywhere between $30,000 to $150,000, depending on what
Easily,
type, right?
easily with the new
Where,
tech. Yeah.
right? And you use them at every bridge, right? And I get it, but at the same time, you could have sensors out there and say you outfit a whole bridge, you're looking instrumentation wise, you're probably at 150, 200,000 for a whole bridge, right? Depending on how big it is. But then you got to have a structural engineer and all that stuff, right? But that initial investment is actually going to save you a whole bunch of money in the long run,
Yes.
right? So then when you do go out to inspect it, the inspector can look at the data and be like, all right, this part of the bridge has not changed at all. So let's
Yes.
send a drone over there, get some pictures and just do healthy documentation. This part of the bridge has been moving a lot. So let's dive deeper in on this side. Let's focus on this side and figure out what's going on. Because it could be the bridge, it could be the ground, it could be something else that's going on that you might not see throughout the year during the regular inspection, right? But the instrumentation is going to have an ear to that bridge all day, every day, right? Until the battery runs out, or if you have a wired system, it'll go on forever unless the power goes out, right? So you're just having an ear to the bridge, understanding how it's reacting different times of the year, different stress loads with vehicles. Maybe there was a bridge impact that somebody didn't tell the DOT about, things of that sort. These sensors would catch it, and then you can do preventative maintenance rather than reactive repairs, right?
I think it's funny you should say that because one thing in England, we had a lot of rural bridges in the old days, and these were built of brick and arches that went over small rivers and things like that. And then, as they realized, as years go by, a lot more weight was being applied to the said bridges, and nobody, they were like, well, has it got a crack or not? But I think that with your sensors, especially on some of the more rural areas, it'll indicate that because we certainly don't pick up on weight loads on bridges. And then when you think of bridges, you think that, well, you've got like the San Francisco, the big bridge that spans huge things areas, but a lot of rural areas are small bridges that certainly are older and things like that, more up north, especially up in Colorado, Oregon. You think of some of the old trails that you had, those old bridges, they were built old school. They're still being used by tourists and things like that. And I'm sure that that's where I can see a lot of your sensors being used. I've got an interesting question then. So, if you had a drone and the drone was on thermal and it showed moisture areas in on walls, then you could put your sensors in around those areas to monitor that even after any works was done to see that that saturation was not carried out. Because sometimes, oh yeah, we fixed it, and then they really haven't fixed it. And the water's still getting in down the line. Your sensors, so after a fix or something like that, would still be able to show and monitor a healthy building, is what I'm trying
Correct.
to do. And that's
Yeah.
good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean technically what I try to get people to understand is if you did it Say you just had it. So for you, say someone calls you up, says, "Hey, I want you to inspect this building to see how it is structurally." Right? It's like, all right, you go, but you're like, on a caveat, you're going to rent these sensors from me. And what they're going to do is they're going to monitor for water intrusion because right now it's June. Okay. It's not raining in Texas in June, right? It hardly ever rains in Texas, right? So, but here in Oregon, right? So say it's middle of summer in Oregon, it doesn't rain that much. Put these sensors out there. I'm going to monitor it for 6 months, right? When it does start to rain, I'll come back and I'll have data from how the water's intruding on your structure. I'll come up with a game plan to do my repairs. Okay. You do your repairs. You keep the sensors in there for another 6 months. So total, they're renting the gear from you for a year. Okay. After that last 6 months, you go, okay, here's the data. I have fixed it. There's no more water intrusion. We've gone through a whole nother weather size cycle. I'm gonna remove them, seal up my little pin size holes that I've had my probes in, and you're good to go.
That's a brilliant. You see, now that needs to be mainstream. That needs to be more thought of. No, but I'm saying, Eric,
Yeah.
is if a lot more engineers, architects, specifiers, and people like that understood that. I mean, I've seen different sensors coming out now where they're talking about, oh, we can monitor for corrosion and things like that. That's great, but you're looking at a long term. Any corrosion could be from 1 year up to 100 years. So for me, I think that a lot of it is definitely knowing where the water is within. Like, as a good one. So I deal a lot with historic buildings, and a lot of historic buildings have pier and beam going across. And underneath there, you can smell the air underneath that it's stale. And even like me, if I take a brick out of an old wall, I can see, wow, man, you can, yeah, it knocks you back. But as you said, the good thing about that now is that people, as you said about like with a doctor, they can check that air quality. And I think that because I'm a big one about like with the plumbing, if the plumbing goes wrong, the gases can do you. And same as in a building, that if the weep holes are blocked and it's got no ventilation, that's going to affect the occupant's health long term. Yet nobody's making any big steps to do this. I know that there are, as I said, expert witnesses out there that do forensics. So this would be good for their neck of the woods where they can monitor the building, especially on a new build if they feel that there's a problem. They can monitor these areas. Do you do like sort of in roof voids and things like that of old buildings? You can tell up there. How good are your sensors is what I'm saying.
They're very good. They're very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So all you really have to know is what the square footage is of the roof cavity, right? One sensor is not going to cover 200,000 square feet of a roof cavity, right? So
Yes.
you just got to get that calculation. You're like, all right, well, one sensor can monitor 5,000 square feet, right? So
That's a
you're
big area.
It's a big area, but hopefully there's a little bit of airflow in there, right? So then you're getting more air to cross the sensors and things of that sort. But yeah, no, it's time consuming to figure out how many and where to place them and stuff like that. But it's definitely worth it if you really care about your structure, whether it be old or new, right? So
Yes,
Old
totally.
buildings are built better, right? They're still standing after a couple hundred years, right? Right now they're the in the housing market, they're pushing houses faster and faster and faster. People take shortcuts and then you leave a couple holes here and there, right? So a house that is 3 years old could have water intrusion already, black, mold growing up in the rafters, and you don't know about it for another 5 years. But by
Yeah.
then, you've been breathing that air for 5 years, and
Exactly. And the people don't realize, well, when the mold suspected fungal growth, was first come out, it was there was all kinds of different molds, and one of them especially could kill you.
Right.
And now with the molds as well, especially from plumbing and things like this, if the gases are trapped and stuff, it's odorless. You don't see it until it's far too late. And then at that point, it's beyond a problem. So yeah, definitely in some ways you are very surgical as you're going back to the granny and say about putting monitors on the hair and being able to monitor it. I mean, that's the benefit of it, isn't it? So you're sort of like ICU ER at that point, where we can do further testing to make direct and command decisions as where to go next. You're supplying us with as much information as you can within the technical area. Do you come across fiber optic sensors as well then?
I haven't come across them, but I have seen them, right? But I haven't brought them on myself. But I do know that fiber optic is coming. The only thing about difference between wired and non-wired, right? So there's positives and negatives of both,
Yes.
right? So we'll start with the wireless because that's what I know the most about, right? So it's very easy to to install, right? So your cost is going to be low for it for in installations, okay? It's scalable, right? So say for your prior church that you were talking about, okay?
Yes.
Say you put, you know, you're I'm just curious about these couple things, right? So you put eight sensors in in the church.
Yeah.
Well, after 6 months to a year, you start seeing some things going on in there.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to add some more. I want to add some more in more places, right? You just go install them and they typically will start just automatically start talking to the gateway.
Wow.
It's pretty quick and easy, right? Whereas if you did a wired one, now those are really good for like a very long-term monitoring. Or say it's you got to go underwater to get to a spot and all this other stuff and you got to protect all this stuff, right? Those are good, they are really good at sending like large packets of data, right? So the wireless ones are kind of limited to how much data they can be sending you because they'll just eat the battery of the
Yeah,
sensor, okay?
yes, that's the point.
So if you need really high definition data, I would go with the wired sensors. But if you're looking at an older building, you're looking at air quality, you're looking at a little bit of crack movement, maybe some vibrations from the road, wireless is perfect. Okay.
Yeah, I find it fascinating.
Yeah, it's
You've got infrared and radar-based sensors as well. You've got such an array of different things. I know you're doing wireless, but it's interesting to see how much is actually coming, like geo radar for material assessment and things like that, all coming down the line. One of the challenges and considerations and that you must have is certainly cost, data interpretation, and integrating with existing materials.
Yes. The costing is big, mainly because lately it's, I mean, in the US it's not written in the specs,
Yes.
right? If it's not written in the specs, a general contractor doesn't want to add that cost to them, right?
Who do you find that would who are the specifiers for this? The engineers or the architects?
Either one,
Okay.
right? So I think it starts at the architects. And then when the structural engineer sees it, they might recommend structural monitoring. I wish that either the owner or the contractor would bring it on,
Yeah,
right?
I think that is good. And how do you think that you'd be able to get more word out there to the public and people like this? Because I certainly am. I'm on your side, and I think that, as I said, for me, sensors and technology is the way forward. I hear people saying, "Oh, well, AI and this and it's not good and all the rest of it." I disagree. Look at your phone. Everybody's
Yes.
iPhone and look at the tech involved in that. You are carrying something that's a personal computer. So I think that without tech in the future coming, some people say, oh, tech's not a good thing too much. But to me, I think it is. I think it's going to certainly give us a lot more understanding of buildings. And when we do get a lot more understanding of buildings and the defect, we're then able to produce and yourself and put those monitors where they're really needed to give the feedback for them to make a command decision down the line.
I'm all for technology in most cases, not in all, but like for structural health, I think it is the way of the future. Just it's safer for the environment, it's safer for people, it's safer for everything, right? And then AI is coming out and helping the structural engineers and also the owners, right? So
Yes.
I have a sensor actually, that is it's an accelerometer, but it's meant for pumps and motors.
Yes.
Okay, you can put this thing on it, and it's you just attach it to the motor, and it you give it like 2 weeks to really understand how that motor really works, and then it will periodically come out and say, "Hey, your pump or motor is going to fail in 3 weeks, 6 months." It gives you that far ahead of advance of
Oh.
what's going on because AI is built inside of the sensor.
I think that's a great idea, and I think that as well as then, if you're incorporating that, it'll be interesting to see how your sensors will say that, look, if you get any more saturation within this wall, it's going to cause XYZ problems and things like that.
I'm sure they'll be like, so say you put in a moisture sensor, an air quality, and a temperature sensor, right?
Right.
I'm sure there's a way to make AI go, oh, you have the perfect conditions for this mold. It's going to be growing at this rate in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
Right?
exactly. You have the right combination of all the factors
Exactly.
that could cause XYZ. And I think that's why people are afraid of it. And they shouldn't be afraid of it because one of the things that I've noticed is there's some amazing inspectors out there. There's some amazing people with lots of technical ability. There's some great engineers, great engineer architects and specifiers. But then on the far right of it, I've come across some right nuggets that I wouldn't take a bloody inch of information from. And then they say, oh, well, I saw it on that there tinternet, so it's got to be true. No, it's not. And they don't do the facts. That's the problem. So I think that with this down the line, using it correctly, using it with the right people, spreading the word that buildings can be analyzed. I mean, if we went back to, as you said, years gone by, you went to the doctor and he tapped on your chest and he had to listen through his little stethoscope. Well, nowadays you've got MRIs. Nowadays you've got systems that are just amazing. And if we can incorporate these sensors and systems, and as I said, people like you need to be out there that are pushing the envelope of information that the engineers, architects, and specifiers can get to make command decisions and also monitor buildings that have been could be stood there for long term. Because there's many buildings I see downtown in Texas and they're stood empty. And as you said, wouldn't it be nice to put one of your sensors in there to check the air quality long term? Because if somebody wants to go in and purchase said building, it's not just a case of, oh, well, we'll slap a roof on it and it needs a bit of pointing and everything's all right. We can stick somebody on the inside. This way, we can prevent somebody from getting ill because the building's ill. And if we've got to make the building right before it's done right. So certainly, I think that your sensors on roads, bridges, anything that can give us information to be able to do a repair correctly. And especially when we're dealing with older buildings, the more information that we can get is invaluable to us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm all like going back to your point about, having some fantastic engineers. I've met a lot of very, very smart people, right? And they're very good at what they do. But again, there's a limited amount of them.
Yes.
You can't, you might know 1,000 inspectors, right? Well, they can only see so many buildings in a year or even
Well,
in their lifetime, right? They're not going to be able to see everything, right? But you can
exactly.
put these sensors and you can say, you know what? I don't need you to go look at this building anymore. I want to take your expertise and go look at this building. And then periodically you pull up the dashboard, you read the numbers, and you make your evaluation from there. And then if you need to go back and inspect it, go ahead and do that. But you don't have to waste your time going and looking at a structure that there's been zero change.
I got one for you. All right,
Yeah.
parapet walls. Parapet walls before while I'm thinking about this one. Now then. So some years ago, I did a job on a university and it was signage. And the signage at the front was cast stone. And on the back of it, it had brickwork and it had been encapsulated over the years many times in black asphalt that protects the parapet on the back. Well, one of the things that we noticed that when we took the backing off of the parapet walls, and a lot of parapet walls are like that in Texas, is that when we take them away, what happens is that the moisture's been built up in there. It's had nowhere to go. So what it's done, it's basically expanded, contracted, expanded, contracted with the moisture inside. And literally, when we've took the back of the actual parapet coating off with the asphalt, you can literally put your hand in, and the bricks are so friable, and it's just made the mortar so bad. But that's another point. If you could drill a hole in that parapet and put a sensor in there, you would be surprised how much moisture is trapped in those. And that is the problem that causes the problems with the efflorescence, rising damp, things like that. Because most times on an old historic building, when we've got rising damp, it usually comes to about a height of 3 feet and then gravity takes over. However, if that is got sealed on both sides, it can create a capillary action where that water can be risen up the side of the wall higher and higher. With sensors like yours down the line being able to pull in, you can able to monitor, as you said, those areas that have stood for a long time and see if there's any differences over a year, 2 years. It sounds like a long time, but in old buildings, it's not.
Right. Yeah,
So
absolutely.
I'm very excited about, your products, what you can do for the industry, what your sensors can do for the industry. And I'm looking forward to one time us doing a little test. And what we'll do, we'll get a house and we'll take out a brick or we'll cut out a section and we'll put a sensor in and we'll monitor one of these buildings in Texas to see how much moisture builds up over that period, especially when it's hot, 110 out. Because an old professor, one time with me, Professor Tom Grimm was his name. What an amazing gentleman at a UT. I met him in the Masonry Society. And he was very good to me. And one time I said to him, I said, I figured it out. He says, What you figured out? I says, well, when you go in a building in Texas, when the AC unit comes on, sometimes the door will shut because it sucks the air in. So I said, well, in that case, then it must be negative pressure because if the Weepos are blocked and it's sucking in the air, does that mean it's sucking in the air coming in? And he said to me, no. So I said, yes. He said, no. So I said, okay. Yeah, typical. No wonder I did good at school. So he said, no. So with that, he said, it's interstitial condensation. So I said, yeah, okay. And he made me say it 3 times, interstitial condensation. So I've never forgot it. But the relevance of the point is that people don't understand that interstitial condensation is a vapor, and vapors can travel through materials. And when you've got hot and cold, especially when you've got hot on the outside and cold in the inside, you've certainly got a cooking pot for problems. And I think that your sensors, especially for homeowners, big and small homeowners, have the right to know if that building's healthy or not. And you down the line are certainly going to be able to offer that to them, I think.
I'm currently looking at getting in with insurance companies, inspection companies, and you, like you know when you go buy a house, I don't know if they do it in Texas, but here in Oregon, when you go buy a house, they do a radon test. Right? So you put in this big machine, and then it tests for radon for 24, 48 hours, or whatever it may be, and then you get the report, and then you can either buy the house or not. Well, why don't they do that with water intrusion, moisture, all that stuff, right? Put a couple set cu put a couple sensors in there. You only have to have them up for a couple days to really get it, unless it's in the summertime, so on and so forth. But you
But hold
turn
on.
all the faucets and see if the pipes are leaking, and you're doing all this, and I would do that.
I got one for you then. Okay. So one of the things that I found in Texas, and we did it on litigation cases, especially when the weepholes were blocked. One thing in Texas that everybody does is they've got sprinkler systems. And the sprinkler systems come on twice a day and saturate. Most times, they're not arced away from the building. They're getting splashed back from trees. So you find that a lot of those walls are absolutely saturated. And sometimes as well with gutter failure and things like that, that you can see the black staining on the outside. It certainly warrants further investigation. And if a customer's worried about the water getting in and things like that, sensors are going to be able to show this down the line because sprinkler systems saturate the bottom levels of buildings out here, day in, day out, night in, night out.
Absolutely. There's
So, as I said,
the use of these sensors is almost limitless, almost.
that's great to hear. That's great to hear. And that's where we want people to be aware of these sensors so that they can look towards using them. So for me, I would definitely say to engineers, architects listening to this podcast, certainly reach out to Eric Snow and gain a lot of useful information because you've certainly dealt with a lot of engineers, architects. You certainly are an expert in your field on this, and you're always willing to share information with me. So I'm very excited about the future for you. And as the technology changes for me for inspecting walls, I'm looking forward to our working relationship to
Absolutely.
work on these sensors and educate people because the first thing I do, I've talked with engineers. I came back from the World of Concrete. I was actually teaching up there with Michael Schuler, and we got into discussing about sensors. And as he said, it's new and innovative, but there certainly wasn't a lot of people at the World of Concrete showing that information. So I'm certainly looking because I wanted to see more and more. I'm hungry for that technology that can certainly save and change buildings because, as we know in America, there are no specific historical restoration codes. So, all the more information that we can get, I think that that's a great way to get that over and understood a bit more. So, in the future, I'm looking forward to getting more information and sharing it, Eric. But I'm glad that I had a chance to sit down and have a chat with you. Mate, it's good to see you face to face.
Almost face to face. I want to come out to Texas and hang out with you for a bit, but I want to say thank you for having me, and I always learn from you too. So
I appreciate it all, Eric, and I look forward to talking to you more. And let's cover this down the line in a few more months' time and see where we're at, and you can bring us up to speed on new information. How's that?
absolutely, I am down for that. So.
All right, then, man, my friend. Well, listen,
All
I'll
right.
close on that and thank you so much for your time. And I so enjoy talking with you, my friend. All right.
All right. Thank you, Al. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. All the best. Thank
All
you.
right.
Bye
Bye.
now.